An awesome God. Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Glory. That's all I could say is glory, glory, glory. That was awesome. That's a little peek of what heaven's going to be like. That last one there. Wow. Imagine how intense that's going to be. All of us just praising the Lord and the drums. Whoo! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Psalm 149 says, it's time to sing to God a brand new song. Let's get off the soapbox, right? Let's give him something new. So that all his holy people will hear how wonderful he is. May Israel be enthused with joy because of him, and may the sons of Zion pour out their joyful praises to their king. Break forth with dancing. Make music and sing God's praises with the rhythm of drums, for he enjoys his faithful lovers. He adorns the humble with his beauty, and he loves to give them the victory. Yes. His godly lovers triumph in the glory of God, and their joyful praises will rise even while others sleep. Ha ha. God's high and holy praises fill their mouths, for their shouted praises are their weapons of war. Woo! We were just in war. See that? That's our weapon. These warring weapons will bring vengeance upon every opposing force and every resistant power. To bind kings with chains and rulers with iron shackles. Praise-filled warriors will enforce the judgment doom decreed against their enemies. This is the glorious honor he gives to all his godly lovers. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Woo! Yes! Glory! The enemies just ran for the hills today. The presence of the Lord is in this place. It's good to see everybody here this morning. Glory, glory, glory. Huh? Wow. Woo. Wow, glory. I can't stop saying that. Glory to God. Wow. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Don't stop praising his name. That's right, Annette. Don't stop. Glory. Well, let's receive our tithes and offerings as we continue to praise him this morning. And what do we got? Deja's back at the desk. So if you want to give through a credit or debit card, just turn around and Deja will get you through the transaction. I'm going to keep the lights low because we're going to do some videos today. And I'll tell you in a minute why, when, and where. Okay? So, it says in Matthew 6:31, do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things, people are eagerly seeking, for your heavenly Father, our heavenly Father knows all that we have need of, every single thing. But seek first his kingdom. He reminds us, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble on its own. Right? Take one day at a time and be in joy every day. The gospel is the good news, right? It's not the bad news. It's the good news. Annette's here. Yay. She's praising the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to his name. She wants to still, Annette just is recovering from an operation, so. She's doing good, though. Don't you just love her pants?
Yes, I
That's 60s stuff right there. You could still wear 60s even if you're 20. Right? Okay. Just give a minute and we'll pray. Let's pray over everyone that's maybe ill. Father, we come before you today in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you for your word. We send your healing word to all those, our friendly and our family and friends. Holy Spirit's all over me this morning. Family and friends that need healing in their bodies, Lord. We pour the blood of Jesus right now from the top of their heads to the very soles of their feet. Lord, we declare that everybody's healed and whole right now. We send your healing word into the nursing homes and into the hospitals, Lord. We thank you for all these recoveries in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for healing us. And by his stripes, we are healed now. And I bind health to all of our bodies from the top of our heads to the soles of our feet. And we come against any sickness and any disease will not come near us. In Jesus' name, because we have a benefit package. And he did it all and paid for it all a long time ago. Therefore, we could walk in health and be totally restored in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Woo! Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, there is a first-time visitor. I'm sorry, it's dark in here. I can't see you. Let me shake your hand. Nice to meet you. And what's your name? Andrew. Nice to meet you, Andrew. Anyone else that's new that's hiding? Something going wrong back there?
The electricity went out.
Okay, unplug it and plug it back in and see if that'll work. Yeah, our electricity went out when we were here, got here this morning. And it was weird. We had everything on, and then all of a sudden.
So.
That should work it. Hi, Meg. How you doing?
Yeah,
good to see you, girl.
Yay!
Let me give you a hug.
How are you again?
You look great. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Is it coming on? Okay. Yeah, it takes a moment or so. Praise you, Jesus. Anybody want to give a praise report about anything while we take some time? That's a good one, Jim. I praise the Lord, it's going to work. Okay, Rita, come on up. Let's hear from Rita.
Yeah.
Yay. Oh, that's right, your eyes. Praise the Lord.
Okay, this is a praise report and also gratitude. I'm having a very hard time with the fluorescence, so I'm good otherwise. I'm sorry, I have to do this. And I don't want to wear my big, silly black glasses. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for their prayers for my surgery, for my eye. For many decades, I've had very poor vision and kind of fudged it through life. And so I decided finally to get my eyes fixed. And they did the right eye. They started with the right eye, which was my worst eye. And I was very scared, but I made it through. And day one, post-op, like they expected, for me, like with both eyes done, to maybe get to 20/32 vision, maybe. Like that would be like the best, normal case scenario. So day one after the surgery, I went for my post-op visit. And my vision, just in the one eye, you have to have both to get the vision, the full visual acuity. The vision in just the one eye was at 20/30, which is better than what they expected with both eyes. So, like I always say here at the Father's house, your prayers are very powerful, and they do work. So I asked my surgeon, I said, is it possible that one day I might have 20/20 vision again? And she said, after the second eye, it is possible that you will have, you know, and no glasses. I mean, today I'm wearing the glasses because of the glare, but I've been picking things up, checking my messages, my text messages, my phone. I didn't even know where my phone was before this, but now I can read my phone. So it's really very amazing, and I thank everybody for their prayers, and continue to pray because I will have to go through another surgery, and also continue to pray for my son because that's going to happen one day too. It's just taking, some things take longer than others. Thank you very much, and thank you for your prayers. And praise God. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Doing is we're taking snippets of video shots of what's going on in the Father's house, and we're going to put a short video together. And what we're going to do is put a QR code on a flyer, and we're going to go around this whole area and just have people look, you know, to see what we're about. And it's really weird because we were at the pantry on Wednesday, and I was praying for the lady, and she said, I said, I'm a pastor. She said, a pastor from where? I said, the Father's house is building. And she says, I didn't know that was a church. People don't realize that this is a church, so we're going to have to do something, wave flags, put balloons out there, or whatever, to draw people to look. Isabel flagging. Know that we're a church, so yeah. So she'll just ask you some questions, just so we need a lot of footage so Jamie could edit it down. Okay, so if you, well, you know, don't worry about what you look like or anything like that or what you say. Just say something good. All right, let me pray. Father, we lift up these tithes and offerings to you today, Lord, and we thank you that you're keeping the electric on, and Lord, that we'll be able to do what you have us to do today. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you for all the healings, Lord. We thank you for supplying everybody's needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you for favor. We thank you for open doors, Lord. We thank you for supernatural debt cancellations, every bill paid, paid on time. And Lord, you said don't worry, and we're not going to worry. So Lord, we thank you and praise you for what you're going to do in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Okay, a few announcements. And so after service, after I'm done, we're going to pray over the Samaritan purse boxes. I hope everybody remembered to bring them in. And we're going to bring them up here, and we're going to pray. And so Carla and Steve could take them where they need to go. Okay, we're still asking for clean shopping bags for the food pantry. You know, all the bags that you throw under the sink and they accumulate and you don't know what to do with them all. Well, you could bring them here. We'll take them as long as they're clean. Okay, Craig and Jeannie are starting a choir. And they're looking for homeschoolers mainly, but it could be anybody in grades 8 through 12. So if you know anyone, or just put the word out, because they want to do it over in this area and New Jersey and put a big choir together. Okay, every Tuesday afternoon at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, we have our awesome prayer time. And we get a lot of things done in that prayer time. And it's wonderful. We see God working all the time, answering prayer. December 7th, which is coming up real soon. Do you realize that Thanksgiving is like, a week from Thursday already? I told you it goes really fast. So December 7th, which will be here soon, Dean Braxton will be back with us at 10:30.
And then we have our awesome, every year, our Christmas luncheon. That's going to be December 14th, our party, our Christmas party, hosted by Matt and Rita, who put on a game show for us with prizes. And, of course, we're going to have sign-up sheet, and people bring food, and everybody just loves our cooking. And this is a time to invite other people. Okay, we're going to invite the Recovery Center people again, and anybody that you know, to come and join us that day, because we have a really good time. So it'll be worship at 10:30, and then after that, I'll follow our luncheon. Okay, December 21st, Don and Debbie Gatlin will be back with us the Sunday before Christmas at 10:30, and you'll hear that song live, Mercy Rain. So that's one of his famous songs. And then February 1st, 2026, Sunday at 10:30, Dennis Raniere will be back with us. Glory to God. So that's what we got. Next week, I'll have the sign-up sheet ready for the luncheon. So we'll start getting all that prepared and ready. And Matt and Reed have been working on this for almost a year, believe it or not. And it takes a lot of stuff to put on a game show. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, join us that day. Okay, so this is what we're doing today. I'm going to be showing three short videos, and they're prophetic views on the message that I gave last week on understanding God's plans, our purpose, and our destiny. And these videos are recent. They're not old. And two are from Graham Cook. And if you never heard of Graham Cook, he's an English-born prophet of God. He has spoken many times into my life and Barry's life. He's very accurate. And he read our mail. And everything he spoke into us in the 90s, that was the last time I've seen that man, has come to pass. So, and then when we were at one of his meetings, we were just starting the church, and we were doing all the paperwork and everything for the 501c3, and we needed a name, and we couldn't think of a name, but at his meeting, the Lord gave me the name, the Father's House. So that was very significant when we planted the church in Easton, Pennsylvania in 2001. So, long time ago. So anyway, and then the last video will be showing Chuck Pierce. And if everybody should know Chuck Pierce, he's pretty popular. He's a prophetic voice to the church and to the nations. And he's going to be talking about, I don't know if I could pronounce this word properly, but I think it's Chesvan. It's the eighth month of the Jewish calendar, which runs between October and November. And that's the first fruits of change. And it's connected to the beginning of Noah's flood. And he's going to bring the message together on how it affects us, because we're entering into new beginnings. Okay? A lot of us have been going through inner healing, traumas being healed, and things like that, because God is preparing us for what's coming. Okay? So, Alan, whenever you're ready, you can show the first one.
If you got your Bible there, I'd like you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 1. This passage of scripture has meant so much to me in terms of my walk with the Lord in the prophetic. I'm going to read to you from verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you. I've appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, alas, Lord God, behold, I don't know how to speak because I'm a youth. But the Lord said to me, no, don't say that. Don't say you're a youth, because everywhere I send you, you shall go. And all that I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. And then the Lord stretched out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, see, I've put my words in your mouth. See, I have appointed you this day over the nations and over the kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. That whole thing fascinates me because it's a dialogue. It's two people talking. One from a place of majesty that's seeing everything and knowing everything, and the other voice in the conversation comes from a place of fear, inadequacy, inferiority. This really can't work because of who I am. And here's the thing, the Lord has never really been all that bothered about who you are not. In my experience of him, he is overjoyed at what he can make you into. And so when he comes at you, he comes at you with the full force of everything is possible because it doesn't actually depend on you. I'm the biggest part of this deal. You're my partner, but you're like small, and I'm like much bigger. So I'm always going to have the biggest share in this partnership. And when you really grasp that he loves the lion's share, he loves the biggest share, he loves the biggest share of the responsibility for your life. When you really grasp that, you can relax, because the God who saved you will also sanctify you. The God who watches over you, the God who knows the end from the beginning, will make sure you get where he wants you to go. He just needs you to understand how he works. We're going to map out this journey. Anyone who's been to any of our events with Brilliant Perspective, you know that every session is a step, and we build from this level to this level. The thing I like about this passage is that your existence in God's heart precedes your conception. Just want to let that sink in. Your existence in God's heart precedes your conception. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. I didn't just know that you were going to be, 5'6", 110 pounds, blue eyes, blonde hair, whatever. I knew who you were. I knew what I wanted you to be. I knew the purpose that I wanted to declare over your life. I knew you in every possible way. I knew you in the fullest way. I knew you, and I know you now better than you know yourself. Because I know your true self. I know your real self. I know the self that I'm making you into. I know the real you that maybe some of you are still trying to discover. Your existence in God's heart precedes your conception. Your identity is not based on who you came through, but who you came from. I knew you. Your purpose precedes your birth. Isn't that amazing? That before some doctor hung you up by your ankles and slapped you on the rear end, God knew the very purpose that he created you for. And that purpose is the reason you were created. And all the issues and circumstances between understanding that identity and fully realizing its destiny, they all have this accelerated dynamic purpose attached to them. How many of us feel, hands on heart, I am behind the time of my own development? I should be further on than I am right now. And most of you are pretty cool then, huh? Or you're lying to me. I'm waving at you because I've got ground to make up, yeah? And here's the thing about all of that is, fortunately, we serve the one person in the universe who can redeem time, who can speed up your development, who can get you back on track no matter how much time you have wasted or feel you have wasted. He can redeem even time. Now that's astonishing. So none of us need to be worried about it. We just need to take our slippers off, yeah, because we've got some ground to make up. And the purpose that God has for you is designed to open up a pathway to your identity, your calling, and your destiny. And your identity must be in alignment and agreement, first of all, as a child of God, because you need to have a simple relationship with God. In your devotional times, always come at God like a much-loved child. The gospel is so simple, an Englishman can understand it. It's that simple. So y'all are included. Y'all are much more clever, right? So it's so simple, any one of us could do it. Always come at God devotionally from the place of a much-loved child. We just had our granddaughters down for a few days because they wanted to go to that mouse trap for humans. And it's just fascinating watching them because they are much-loved children. And it shows, much-loved. So everything about them is about being accepted as they are, about being loved, and the way they approach their parents is as much loved children. And to me, it's always, every time I see the guys, it's always like a mirror image of how I come at God all the time. If you're really stuck, just be a much loved child. Because he will reduce everything to some glorious simplicity so you can step into it. But we never stay there. Here's the thing, you always have at least two relationships with God. One as a much loved child and one as a developing, fully mature son. And we're always somewhere between those two ideals, yeah? And there's a great amount of leeway in that and great amount of grace and goodness and laughter in it because no matter where you are on that spectrum, you can connect with the goodness of God. And we're learning that in the end, bottom line is, you are who God says you are. You are not who you say you are unless you're actually agreeing with him. So if he's calling you to be a prophet and you're saying, but I'm just a youth, someone's got a disconnect and a guarantee it's not him. Someone has a disconnect. Agree with God and be at peace. So your calling, whatever it is, it relates to a specific gift or a certain mission or a lifestyle. Your calling doesn't really relate to a ministry. It relates to a lifestyle that allows you permission to do certain things in certain areas that God has called you to. We're all in the ministry and we're all full-time. Yeah, so let's just get that one out of the way. You know, God loves to declare things into our lives. He loves to speak to us. You know, God didn't write a book and lose his voice, no matter what some people think. You know, God wrote a book and then he's talking to you about it because he wants you to know the author. And, you know, the written word was preceded by the spoken word. So the written word is not everything, it's part of everything. Yeah, but even the Bible began as a prophecy because God spoke to Moses and said, dude, write this down, right? The Bible began as a prophecy. It was a spoken word and then it became a written word. So you can't now have the written word and outlaw the spoken word. That doesn't make sense. That's not kingdom. That, I don't know, that's legalism. It's not kingdom. So here's the thing is, the Lord has designs on all of us, so we're going to choose one of my favorite characters. Abraham's a few visitations from the Lord, and he's visited on this occasion by the Lord and two angels. It's just a normal Tuesday. And in preceding times, the Lord has talked to him about, you know, having a son. And Sarah is barren, and both of them are getting older and older. And so, you know, the clock is not ticking, it's almost dead. So anyway, this is like the fifth time that God has visited him. And they're chatting away, you know, and having a great time and eating together. And then Abraham is kind of like, you know, they start walking away and Abraham's walking them off the land. And here's the thing about the Lord. You have to stay until the final minute because usually that's when stuff happens, yeah? You have to stay at the end. It's like, you know, in England we say, you know, in soccer, you know, great fans stay till the end. And if you supported my team, they only ever scored in the last 2 minutes. They won more games in the last 5 minutes than they had any business winning. So I always stayed right till the whistle went because something would happen. And it's a lot, following my team is a lot like walking with the Lord. Everything happens in the last minute of something. So you got to hang with it. really, when you're in a time of visitation, pay as much attention to the last period of it as you do to the initial appearance. Sometimes, you know, God shows up and we all go gaga, you know, and we don't pay attention to every single thing that's happening. And so let me read you this from Genesis 18, verse 16. The men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed? For I have known him and chosen him, so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, just so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." The most powerful single word in that passage is the word "since." That's the hinge. That's the piece that everything hinges on, the word "since." Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since he will surely become this? So, in other words, I need to say these things to Abraham because of who he is going to be. So the Lord knows Abraham's childless and, you know, and praying and concerned about having an heir. And all the Lord, the only thing the Lord can see is, oh my God, Abraham's going to be so big. He's going to be like the father of nations. So God sees the big picture, whereas Abraham can't even see the small one. He sees the big thing. Shall I declare to him? That's what he's saying. Shall I declare to Abraham what I'm about to do, because he's going to become that? So God speaks to you in the present because he already knows your future. So here's the thing. This is the important thing here. God doesn't speak to you in the present because of what is happening in the present. He speaks to you in the present because of your future that he sees. So even if you're screwing things up right now, he doesn't speak into your present as your present. He speaks into your present because of the future, because of what he sees about you. He talks to you today because he knows the end from the beginning, and he's going to bring you that outcome into your present. I love that about the Lord. I love the fact that I'm going to talk to you because of who you're going to be. I'm going to talk to you because of how I see you. I'm going to talk to you because of all the things that are on the horizon that you're going to be doing. I'm going to talk to you here because I see you bigger than you actually are right now. Shall I hide really means I choose to include Abraham with this conversation because I need him to see this. Because really the issue in his life right now is not about one child. It's about him growing to be big enough to be the father of nations. It's about him being known as something much bigger than he's incapable of seeing right now here.
Get tested, but your tests produce a new capacity for faith in your life. And so that's why once you understand, when we celebrate corporately, and all of you on the web, you're right here with us, First Fruits, you're all of a sudden celebrating what God intended from heaven down here on the earth. Now, let me loose these blessings over you, and then we're going to worship and end. This is the month the flood started to cleanse the earth so the glory could come. The heavens opened and poured down. And it's also the month the flood where Noah did his first sacrifice on the new ground. So see, you're coupled with washing away things, but also sacrificing things. But it sets a course for a year. And what happens, God places his finger on things about us this month, and he doesn't let up until a year later, because he knows he is making you a sharp new threshing instrument with teeth. He's sharpening up something. He's finishing something in your life that needs to be finished, but what it's doing is causing you to get off the fence. It's the month of Manasseh. Manasseh would go back and forth. They were a fairly godly tribe, but they settled in places where they were comfortable. And then they would go to war when they needed to go to war, but then they would always go back. And the Lord says, I am pulling my people across the fence this year. You're not going to be able to keep going back and forth over certain things. And so it's also the month, as I said, Manasseh, Joseph named him that because it means you're going to forget what tried to keep you from leaping forward. You cannot just continue to go over every trauma you've ever had. You are going to have, this month means you're going to leap past it and away. And you're going to let it go, and God wants to heal your memory. He doesn't want you rehearsing trauma this month, because what he does want you to receive this month is a new anointing. And it starts forming this month, and every trial you're going through is squeezing that new anointing, those grapes in you. And all of a sudden, this month is about the fragrance of your anointing coming forth. Look at somebody and tell them you're going to smell better by the end of this month. Now look at them and tell them you're going to have more power by the end of this month. Because you are going to metamorphosize into a place of fullness you haven't been. Pam sent us video after video after video this month, because the monarchs took over the garden. They metamorphosized and made their journey, and we have become part of their journey. We represent a place that metamorphosis can light. Put your hand on somebody and say, you can metamorphosize here. Listen, I had 2 days to pray for you. Woo, y'all, many of y'all made list after list. And without that new anointing coming, see, I had to have some sort of new anointing to leave this afternoon. And without that new anointing coming, Satan gets the upper hand and he puts a chain around one of your feet. Look, kick your leg and say, that ain't happening. So, this month, you are going to some way know how the enemy has been ruling. That's a different level of prophecy. That's the level of prophecy linked with redemption, where when he ascended, he descended first and went down and took the keys from the enemy of death, hell, and the grave. That's how redemptive prophecy works. Those words that God's going to give you this month will be unlocking. they will be overcoming. Read Robin's book. They'll be overcoming and they will be filled with power. Some of you, the Lord says, quit looking at your circumstance. Look deep into the circumstance you're in, and I have keys waiting on you to grab hold of. This month is about your soul, things coming up and coming out of your soulish nature. A good person to study this month is Moses, the meekest man on earth. Strength and power under submission. That's what meek means. Yet he never could overcome anger. And see, God says there's something in your life you haven't overcome that I'm putting my finger on. And let me work with you, because it's stopping you from smelling the way of fragrance of life that I want you to smell right now. That's what this month's about. It's a month of none, new beginning. It's a month where light permeates so you can see the end of something, and then it reflects so you see how it's going to begin new and fresh. And this is a year of connecting. You're going to see certain roots that are operating in your bloodline. Deborah Drake came in this morning and said, isn't gout inherited? I said, I know you're bringing up, I've got issues in my bloodline. I said, I'm connecting those roots. So I see how certain missteps I've never seen before occur. It is so key. And it's one of the months we overlook and just que sera through. And yet, it is the month where Israel calls it the Messiah month, where they know that Messiah will come back and demonstrate himself. See, it's the month where you go through, choose you a gospel, and look at how Messiah demonstrated. I could teach 15 things he demonstrated that had never been demonstrated before. And they started, and they manifested during this month. This is such a key time for us.
Wow. I know that was short and blunt, but that's how they were. But they really spoke to me about all the things that I spoke on last week as a prophetic voice into our spirits. And Paul, you have a word?
So this was during worship. I was standing up here and I felt the Holy Spirit just brooding over this house. And I got the sense that, you know, in the beginning, the Holy Spirit brooded over the earth, over the waters, over the face of the deep. And that was to help bring things in order for the time of creation. And so I felt that the meaning of him hovering over this house is that he's bringing things into order so that our gates can spring open wide for the King of Glory to come in. And I had this imagination that Jesus was walking through here and the train of his robe filled the temple. And I just wanted to hop on that train and ride it and laugh all the way. Because he's fun. God is fun. God is good. He loves us so much. And he can't wait to come in. I know he can just... I think now is the time. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say, now is the time.
Now is the time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Let me put on a light, okay? And then we'll close. The Lord is good. He does love us so much. Sorry about that. You put your sunglasses on. Father, we just give you praise and glory for what you're doing inside of us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you want us clean, healthy, strong. We're your children, Lord, and you love us so much. You want to see good things for us, Lord, and we thank you that now is the time. This is our time. This is a new beginning for the church, maybe even for the nation, Lord, as we live here, Lord, that we'll see all kinds of different things happening. And Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you. You're an awesome God. We love you so much. We thank you for this week and this time, Lord, that you're going to open up doors. And we're going to look for new doors, Lord, because you said to walk by faith, not by sight. So, Lord, we're going to look for those new doors. We're going to listen to your voice, and your voice only will we follow. So, Lord, we just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're going to do this week. With abundance of favor and grace in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Okay. I don't think there's much in the back, right? Green beans. Oh, we're going to pray over the boxes. You want to get them? And we'll do that before you leave to go get your string beans. Fresh string beans. You could use them for Well, they might not last that long. You could freeze them, yeah. Okay. What's that?
Thank everybody for their prayers. Truly, the Lord for everybody's prayers and protected us, gave us enough food. We had no problem.
Yes, it was. I was here, and I was like shocked because it was, yeah, it was just normal. So, okay, we want. You guys can pray over the boxes. Let's stretch out our hands to these boxes and believe God with them as they pray.
Thank you, everybody, for helping with this. And, Lord, we thank you that we live in a country that is so blessed and that we have an opportunity to share some of our physical blessings with the less fortunate. And we thank you for Samaritan's Purse and what they do to try and reach these children through the Operation Christmas Child boxes. And we pray for every box that's here, that it will go exactly to the child that needs it, and that they will hear your word, and it will fall on fertile soil. It will produce much fruit, and they will bring the word back to their families. It will change not only their lives, but their families' lives. And we humbly thank you that we get to get the blessing of being givers.
I'm just hearing reaping what we sow. So we're sowing this into the kingdom, Father. We want much fruit and harvest to come out of this, Father, Lord God. It's another way that we can evangelize very simply. You know, encourage you for next year. This is a nice way to evangelize without not having much hands-on, but God will use it.
In Jesus' name, amen. Anyone who forgot, sorry, I'm Presbyterian originally. anyone who forgot their box, there are two churches you can just take your box to directly that are not too far away. One is Calvary Baptist over on Green Pond Road, Calvary Baptist. And then there's Ebenezer Bible Fellowship in Nazareth. You could also go on the Operation Christmas Child website. You just put in your zip code, and it will tell you the churches who are collecting the boxes and the times that they're taking them. So, again, thank you so much, and it's going to be bigger and better next year. Love y'all. Bye.
Yes, yes. Oh, okay. Brad, go ahead. Fill it out. Okay. Anything else? I guess that's it. Oh, we got a little birthday for this Jack here. Jack can't hear, but we love him, okay? So we pay special attention to Jack. So, can you read lips?
Yes.
So, you want to all sing happy birthday? He can't hear it, but we're going to pray God will open up his ears.
Right?
Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for opening up Jack's ears in the name of Jesus so he can hear every single thing in Jesus' name. Ooh, okay. Who wants to start? Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.